presenting a new exciting radio program featuring the thrilling adventures of an amazing and incredible personality.
Outrageous! Banded together from remote galaxies.
You're listening to episode 142 of the Let's Go Comic Show, part of the Let's Go Podcast Network, pop culture without the pop, where we talk about comics, comic book movies, comic book TV shows, everything in the world of comics, and then we rate those. My name is Justin.
And I'm Matt.
Oh, yeah, your name's Matt.
The Podcast Network.
Podcast Network, pop culture, pop. Matt.
Yeah.
We rate That's stuff. How do we rate stuff? What system?
Oh, we rate stuff with the Let's Go rating system.
That's right.
The best rating we give is a gotta go.
Heck yeah.
Below that is a let's go.
Yeah.
Below that is a go.
Ah.
Below that is a don't go.
Not going to do that.
And then below that is trash juice.
Ooh, trash juice. Do we have trash juice today?
I think we might.
Oh, man. We were talking about trash juice yesterday. I think we're going to share some.
Dude, it's funny. This week, I asked my son what he thought of a book that he just finished because it was his birthday. He got a book series from his aunt, and I was like, "So, how would you like rate the book? Like, how would you think?" He's like, "You mean like with like a let's go and not a go?" And so I was like,
"That's so funny." He's branded. He's learning. He's like, "Dad, it was trash juice."
Nah, he liked it. He's
nice.
He's a reader for sure. Like he just kind of burns through stuff. That's I got him and his brother a comic book a couple weeks ago, and he read both of the issues like on the way home.
Just like so, you.
Just burn him right through. I do that sometimes, yeah.
Me and Matt would like go to the comic store and then like instead of like talking to me, he'd be like, "I'm gonna read these comic books in the car while you drive."
Bye,
I'm
Justin.
Like, "All right." I'm like, "Okay." Well, I'm a chauffeur now. I'm just Uber. I charged him $7 when we were done. I was like, "Hey, man, here's $7.
Drive me, Alfred."
Yes, let's go.
Five stars. Every time, Justin.
Five stars all the time. Give me the five stars. I need the rating. So speaking of driving, Alfred, stuff like that. So I'm just reminded of so many things. I was like, oh, yeah, I wanted to talk to you about
driving,
this.
Alfred.
Speaking of Alfred and driving, HBO Max, on it, they have Beware the Batman, which I've never watched because...
Oh.
Remember it was on Cartoon Network, but you never watch it. And it was so
yeah,
random.
I watched a little bit of it. I really liked what I saw.
I saw two episodes of it while I was doing dishes, and it was pretty good. Like, it was the animation style was the same as kind of that Green Lantern one. Felt like it
I
was
could
very,
see it's kind of similar to that.
Yeah, it was very similar to that, and I didn't hate it. Alfred was a little weird. He looked like Lex Luthor.
Oh, really? I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah, he was just because... And that was when my son said, he walked by, he's like, "Dad, what are you watching?" He said, "What is this?" It was like this new show to him.
Yeah.
I was like, "No, it was this show, Beware the Batman." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, I had like a little McDonald's toy. Remember?" And he was like, went this whole thing about, "Remember it threw batarangs, Dad?" I'm like, "Oh, yeah." He's like, "Who's
like
that?"
They had a good like little switch up, though, too, like having Katana as part of, as a main character. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, she was like his new driver because Alfred hurt his leg.
Yeah, so. And Professor Pig, like, being in there. Like, I don't know. I thought it was cool
Professor
that they incorporated other stuff.
Yeah. But I'm only like, two episodes in, so I'm like, oh, I'll finish this season off and see how it goes.
Bums me out that you hate Professor Pig.
I just don't care. But it was
cool
to see
a new show.
That's
one of my favorite
parts
of Morrison's Batman stuff. Like, he added a bunch of weird, like, bad guys and stuff. But
yeah. And I mean, they've lasted because they've made it to other shows, and so they've made an impression. Matt Reeves' Batman, the second one, so all Professor Pig. He's like,
"Yeah,
so I got seven for you." So, all right. So there was that. So speaking of, have you jumped onto the HBO Max yet? No,
I haven't. No,
no. Yeah, I don't know why I jumped on so soon. I think it's because there's a deal. It was like, oh, man, it's a deal. $11 or $14?
You are a sucker for a deal.
I was like, that's a deal. But there's actually some really great stuff on there. I'm like, oh, man, Dick Tracy's on there. I'm going to show my kids that. They haven't seen that yet.
Oh, nice, so, dude. Oh, man, I loved that movie.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff. But interesting enough, like, I still think HBO Max is such a dumb name for it. Like, just be WB Max.
Like, I feel like when people see the Warner Brothers shield, they know that. Like, oh, it's Warner Brothers. Like, they yeah. get that. Like,
that is interesting to me.
When I see HBO, I think of, like, The Sopranos. I don't think, like, oh, there's going to be kids stuff on there. Because here's the thing. There's a new Looney Tunes cartoon on there, and my kids watched, like, 3 hours of it. They were loving it, dude. They were like, this is funny. They're like, oh, my gosh, those are all the guys from Space Jam.
Oh, man.
Because they've seen Space Jam because it's like on Netflix yeah. and stuff. So they were like,
that's what they know him from.
They made a show out of these guys. All the Space Jam characters are, they have their own show now.
The HBO Max thing is interesting, especially not just because it's a weird name in and of itself, but you already have existing services like HBO Go and HBO Now.
Yeah, which everyone's confused about. Like, I'm not because I don't have it. But so I was like, oh, I'm just going to sign up for, HBO Max. But like,
the Max.
Everyone is like, wait, how does it work with my account that I already have? Wait, what? There wasn't a very clear rollout for people. But I just think calling it WB Max would have been a lot better. Because here's the thing. The marketing is what's going to sell it. Not that it says HBO. Like, if you put an HBO logo out there and Superman's with it, it just looks like, oh, Superman right. movies on HBO. But if it's like WB Max and you see all these characters, you're like, oh, dang, okay, you're going to have Bugs Bunny and all these. I think it makes more sense that way. And they didn't launch with much anyways. There wasn't like any new show that I can think of like, oh, man, I can't wait to watch that. They were like, oh, Friends. Friends is going to be on there. And in a year or two, the Snyder Cut. Like, that's all they're really, like, they're yeah. predicating it on those two things. And it's like,
those are kind of the pillars. I mean, yeah. they got to add more. I would imagine hopefully they'll work on getting the rights to The Max created by Sam Keith. Because, I mean, that just feels like
right. just anything that's a Max.
The branding really well.
It just makes me think of Cinemax, which was HBO's, like, kind of their other
Yeah, it was a competitor, station. Right?
No, I thought Cinemax was part of HBO. Yeah, I thought it was like, oh, this is where you watch the top movies of the day, Cinemax, or something like that, right? So I don't know, man.
I just thought that was where all the dirty movies were.
Yes, Cinemax. That's what it was. Dude, I don't know, man. I don't know why they did that. I mean, I've read stuff that was like, well, when people see HBO, they think of high-quality stuff, like, The Watchmen show, Sopranos, things like that, things of that nature. And so I could mm-hmm. see that, but I don't know, man. I would just say WB and own the shield, man. It's like one of the most iconic like movie studio logos around is the True. Warner Brothers like shield. And you're not going to use that. You're going to use generic HBO typeface. Mm-hmm. It's not as iconic as what I'm saying. But anyways, we can move on from that. But they do have some DC stuff. They have every DC movie except for the Nolan stuff. So
really?
Yeah, and I think Man of Steel's not on there either. But everything else, name it. Steel's on there, Catwoman, top those, of the top, right? The
those creme top de la shelf creme. Movies.
Yeah, but then it's got, Shazam, it's got Joker, it's got Justice League, it's got everything, man. It's got Supergirl. I don't think it has the Christopher Reeve movies yet, but see, those are on DC Universe. So I don't know how the rights work. Part of me is like, if you own it all, throw it on there. But maybe there's Netflix deals still going on. Like the Batwoman show is on there. Weird thing is when you switch to the kid mode, there's not a DC selection. Why is there not a DC selection? Like there's DC kid stuff on there.
Yeah.
It's really weird. So hopefully they change that. Or like Disney Plus I would say their platform is better. But I would actually say there's more things that you want to watch on HBO Max.
Seems like they have a pretty widespread
there's tons of stuff, dude. Yeah. Because plus you get what's on HBO. Like, oh, you can watch Alien movies, which are Fox, which should be on the Disney app. It's weird, man.
Who knows at this point?
Yeah, it's like I don't know. I just have
you can watch 10 Things I Hate About You on Disney Plus. So I mean, there's that.
What? I wouldn't mind.
It's so good.
That's a good one. Yeah, it's a weird time, dude. Everything's available. The only thing I'm not getting anymore, I'll tell you that.
Sure,
I'm not gonna get. Justin. I'm not getting the NBC app, even though I want to watch Saved by the Bell. I want to watch Saved by the Bell.
You
want to
watch
so
The
bad.
Office for like the fifth time?
Oh
through.
Man, that'll be hard. That's gonna be a hard one. But that's what she said. Oh, hey, look at that. Hey,
thank you, The Office.
Thank you, The Office. Thank you. I watched Space Force too. That was fun.
Oh, you did?
It's on Netflix. It's kind of okay.
I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, it's whatever. So I was going somewhere though. What was I going to say? I was trying to segue into something, and I can't remember what I was going to say.
Were you going to segue into some CW shows?
Oh, shoot. Yes, I was. I was going to say, speaking of Batwoman, because Batwoman is on HBO Max. That's what I was going to talk about. And so, interestingly enough, so we all know a couple weeks ago, Ruby Rose is like, I'm out. I'm like, I'm not going to be Batwoman anymore. It's a pain in my back and my neck, and I don't like working all day on a show because I'm the star. So I'm like, okay, well, you know, when you're the star of the show, you got to show up and be Batwoman. But anyway, so I guess she wasn't a fan of that. Plus, she hurt herself. So there's probably a whole bunch of other things tied into it. So typically, something like that happens. You just recast, right? You're like, all right, fine. It's not like she was setting the world on fire with her acting. Let's just say Ruby Rose looked great, but she did not act great. It was cardboard, man. It's hard. I've seen five episodes of Batwoman, and they're like, dude, she's not good. I just didn't watch all that much of it. Yeah, like you look good. Like if there was a, you know, if there was a Batwoman, like, you know, photo essay, you're great. That whole acting part is rough, man.
I can't speak to that. I didn't watch it. Yeah.
Not good. Anywho, so kind of rumor was going around a couple days ago, maybe yesterday, that they're like, hey, so. And especially to like, so like, you know, Chris reviews this for the show. So check out his reviews on the website, letsgo.com, letsgopodcast.com. Sorry, don't go to letsgo.com, letsgopodcast.com. But anyways, there's a storyline, there's threads that need to be wrapped up. And I don't know how this is going to work because they said there's a new character who's going to take over. It's no longer going to be, you know, Kate Kane, who is Batwoman. So this is kind of like, hey, Bruce Wayne is no longer Batman anymore. We're going to bring somebody else in. Which that typically doesn't work out, right?
It doesn't last all that long, usually.
Yeah. So this person is going to be Ryan Wilder. They do mention that this could be a placeholder name. Now, I have some ideas.
Ooh, really?
I got some ideas after we... Let's like read the... We'll read the this the kind of the casting call on this. But the character is described as likable, messy, a little goofy, and untamed. She's also nothing like Kate Kane. She has a personality. No, I'm just kidding. She's nothing like Kate Kane, the woman who wore the bat suit before her. With no one in her life to keep her on track, Ryan spent years as a drug runner, dodging the GCPD and masking her pain with bad habits. A girl who would steal milk for an alley cat could also kill you with her bare hands. Ryan is the most dangerous type of fighter. Highly skilled and wildly undisciplined. An out lesbian. Athletic. Raw. Passionate. Fallible. And very much not your stereotypical all-American hero.
What a great casting.
Here's my theory. Something happens to Kate Kane. Like she leaves Gotham or whatever. But this person is actually Kate Kane. Having like an identity crisis or something, and they don't let you know. I think this is almost like Batman of Zurin and R type of version.
Okay,
like that's what I was thinking. I was like, it doesn't make any sense. Like,
so you're thinking like a face off kind of situation,
maybe they like that doesn't. I feel like audiences don't care, man. Like we can do a different actor. Like we went from Iron Man to Iron Man 2, and everyone was like, yeah, Terrence Howard. Cool, he's out.
Yeah,
like,
but
he wasn't that great anyways.
Playing the same character, though.
Like, well, it's a different actor and the same character. They should have done that. I don't know
why. Oh, yeah, 100%. A new character.
So I'm trying to think, like...
Say it's a new character. What are our options, like, if we're pulling from the comics? I have an idea of what I feel like is the most likely one, even though it would be kind of weird.
Go for it. Tell me, because I'm kind of... My I have some ideas myself.
Well, let's talk about some other like potential like women in the Bat family if they really wanted to go for it. I mean, what if they just went Kathy Kane, original?
She has her purse and everything.
Wildly undisciplined purse.
Yeah. Well, didn't she become Flamebird? Or was that?
I don't know, man. I actually don't know that much. I brought it up, and then I don't know all that much about Kathy Kane. I just know she was the original Batwoman. I mean, you could go.
You can do Huntress. Bring Huntress in. She can be Bat Well, she was Batgirl during the Cataclysm stuff. At okay. first, she was wearing the Cassandra Cain outfit.
I was gonna say there's Cassandra Cain, but you also have that other version that was in Birds of Prey. So,
oh yeah, yeah, that version was not a good version of Cassandra Cain.
Stephanie Brown.
Well, yeah. Well, okay. I was like, it could be the spoiler. Yeah, maybe bring in a character we know. You know, I don't know
if they're going to do that. It doesn't sound like the description. So here's what I think that's the closest description to. And it's a character that's known, like it's a lesser known character. So I think they could have some wiggle room to kind of reimagine her. And that would be Harper Row.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Dang, she kind of fell off the face of Gotham.
She did.
Right? What was her code name again? Blue Jay or something like that?
Bluebird.
Bluebird.
I think it was Bluebird.
All right.
Well, I don't know, man. That was back in 2014 with Snyder and Capullo.
Didn't really go anywhere.
She was a character recurring a little bit on a few episodes of the most recent season of Young Justice.
Oh, was she really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, last time I saw her, I think, was Batman Unlimited. Or was not Unlimited. Batman...
Eternal,
yeah. She was in that.
The maxi series?
Yeah, yeah. And then they did Batman and Robin Eternal. And yeah, I don't know what happened to her. So
So I feel like that it's someone that they could say like, hey, it's someone that exists in the comics.
Yeah.
But also they can do whatever they want.
Yeah. But I feel like Batwoman is Kate Kane. Like,
totally.
Just
no, like I don't disagree with that
puzzling.
At all.
It's puzzling. So... Or just cancel the show, you know? But I don't know. I don't know if it was like, I don't know. I don't know like if it was setting the world on fire, but they announced a season two. And like the whole show is so wrapped into the relationship between Kate Kane and Alice. So I just don't understand. Hmm. So whatever, we'll see. I'm curious. I'm definitely curious.
It's a dumb choice. Like that's such a bad
Why don't they
move.
Just hire just... Ben Affleck?
There you
as
go.
Batwoman. Perfect. People will buy it.
People will be like, yes.
They'll say, AT&T will make it happen.
Finally.
AT&T
yes.
will throw their money at it. Ben Affleck's
I heard he wanted
be Batwoman.
It to make it happen.
Why not?
It's not even like weird as far as like people understanding or even like casting and stuff, like or character names. I think over or maybe under like all of that is like you're going to have to like tie yourself in knots like plot-wise to... Yeah. make this happen. Because otherwise you're just repeating the origin story, right? She's not going to be in the costume for the first however many episodes.
Oh,
and
yeah, she's going to walk into the Batcave
and just know what it is. Orphan Vision.
Yeah, so what's like Luke Fox going to do? He's like, oh man, fine, here. Let me give you access to everything again.
Oh, dude, I feel like all the relationships they set up are done. Excuse me.
Yeah.
No way all of that stuff can keep going. They're basically starting from scratch if they go with another character.
Yeah. It's weird. That's why I think it is her. I think they're going to do some weird, like, it is her. You look different. Like, instead of, like, ignoring it, it's a different actor. They're just going to, like, something happened and she's lost her mind. And it's going to be, like, a weird, like, 6-episode arc of her, like, trying to figure out who she is. And then, like, oh, okay, it's back to normal CW like status, like, okay, well, just that was last episode, big changes happened, and then now she's because didn't they say this year on they weren't going to do a big giant like line-wide crossover with all the shows? It was just going to be Superman show and Batwoman.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
They're like, this year's crossover is just going to be Superman and Lois and Batwoman.
What a weird choice.
Well, they're probably trying to do world's finest type of thing, you know?
Yeah.
You know, world's finest.
World's finest. Batwoman.
Yeah, Batwoman and Batgirl. Yeah, sure. That'll happen. Supergirl. Like, world's finest. Let's team up again.
Yeah, sounds good.
So, yeah, it's just interesting. So I'm thinking that through, like, maybe they cancel that. I mean, they can always cancel that and go, okay, fine. We'll just team Superman up with... you know, Supergirl or The Flash or whoever. Or maybe they'll just bring Batman in finally. I don't know. Anywho, that was the CW news. This week's CW update.
This week's CW update.
DCW.
So what would you rate that Ruby Rose news?
Man, it's hard because I didn't put the investment in on all of the episodes, but from what I watched, I wasn't really attached to her portrayal. It didn't seem like she was interested in being there. You know?
I agree.
And, you know, if you're in it, I feel like when you are the like the top person on the show, if you're Arrow, you need to like sell the show. You need to be like, you know, Stephen Amell was like, I'm Arrow. I'm going to do it. I'm going to show up at Comic-Con in my Arrow suit and like, you know, really play into the fans. You got to do that. If you're going to jump on one of these CW shows, you have to know.
Yeah.
They expect something of you. And that may sound selfish, you know, and you know, I don't require that of anybody, but like you either have to have fun with it and know like, hey, I'm committing. You know, these shows go for about 7 years. Like I'm committing, you know, a good portion of my life to like be in this character. And for the rest of my life, I'm going to go to these cons and be like, I was Batwoman. I'm going to sign, you know, I saw this interview with John Wesley Shipp who played the Flash. And he's just like, I didn't want this to define my career when I was younger, but I'm so glad I did it. Cause it's wonderful. I meet great people and, you know, look at the impact I had. And
that's
so,
cool.
Yeah. Well, oh, it was actually like really an emotional interview. It was on DC Daily. I was like, oh,
nice.
So, so I'm like, there's a little bit that maybe she just wasn't aware of when she signed up. So the news of this, I would say the casting sheet is kind of it just sounds like a don't go. It doesn't make any sense. But for her, I actually just feel bad. Like maybe she needed another year to grow into the role. And so I don't know. It feels kind of hard to rate the news of that. And so I won't, but right, I will man. Say this casting That's call fair. Sounds really stupid. So I'm saying it's a don't go. Like, well, come on. Or it's just trash juice because that's what it sounds like. This character is living in trash juice and is going to become the new Batwoman. You're like, oh.
Is actually in trash juice. It's actually the Toxic Avenger reboot. Sorry,
yeah, that's right. Watch it be amazing. And they bring the character into the comics. They're like, you know, sometimes they create a show character. And then that character becomes on the comics. And they're like, hey, they've done it with John Diggle. They did it with Chloe from Smallville, and that's weird because she's all in jail and stuff. You know, that has happened in the past. So
that's true. There is a precedent for it.
Yeah. So yeah. So, anyways, that's your CW update, Matt. But
yeah.
Kind of segueing into another CW update, but at the same time, it's a DC Universe original update. Stargirl, boom. So
boom.
Three episodes are out. I've seen all three. I'm caught up. Matt, where are you at on Stargirl?
I'm like one and a half, like or one and one three and quarters. Half. Like I'm.
How many
I'm
points
like,
of a star are you?
I'm like two thirds of the way of through the second episode.
Nice. So the Knicks are reviewing on the website. So if you go to letsgopodcast.com, click on TV, and we're reviewing the episodes there. And so the Knicks are taking turns. They're a little Justice Society of Knicks that are just are reviewing the shows. But I'm actually pleasantly surprised with this show. It definitely the trailers did not do anything for me, you know.
Oh yeah,
but I was like, I really like Luke Wilson though, you know. I like him.
Yeah, he's like,
he makes it happen for me. You're like rooting for him. He's just like, I don't know, man. He's like the great everyman, you know.
He is like, he comes across very much like a stereotypical like stepdad, like,
yeah,
on a CW show. So I mean, yeah, there's that. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's the vibe they want. Like, he's filling that role.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to judge it so far, just not even finishing two episodes, but
yeah.
There's something like, it does feel like there's something that like, it does feel like it has a foot in both sides of it, where it has the feel and the look of a DC original and the look and feel of a CW show. Like it kind of has a foot in both of those camps in a way, I think, from style, from writing, acting, like it's all kind of there.
Yeah.
Like that CW broadcasting of like, this character's gonna be important later.
Yeah.
Like whenever you meet a new character, I'm like, okay, got it. Like that's...
Except, oh shoot, I can't talk about it. Except
no,
on
no,
episode
no.
three, I'm like, oh shoot. I would say the budget looks way better. Like Stripe is amazing. Stripe looks great.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
it is great.
Really excited.
I saw that little like a montage of him trying to figure out how to do like the launching like rocket fist thing, like when he's out in the field. Yeah, and it's good. I mean, and there's definitely an aspect of it because I'm not as well versed in the Starman kind of lore and history. Where I'm like, well, crap, is that her dad? Like, is that too obvious? Like, and so I'm like, there's a part of it I'm like, yeah, I do kind of want to know what happens.
Yeah. That's the part that's hard for me. Being a fan of like the Justice Society and all that stuff, I'm like, wait, they did it a certain way. So I understand what they did, but I'm like, Ted Knight is the original Starman.
Mm-hmm.
And in this thing, they're saying the Star Spangled Kid is Starman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's not true. Because they're cutting a whole story. Because Courtney first, she was the new Star Spangled Kid. Like when that comic came out, she was the Star Spangled Kid. She didn't become Stargirl until Jack Knight retired and gave her the gravity, the star rod. So...
skipping Jack Knight entirely.
But maybe they'll get him later. Maybe he'll come around. Because I'm like, dang, Jack Knight's such a cool character. And if they do that, I'll be mad.
I wanted to see like the trench coat and like all.
Yeah, dude. He's like
in a t-shirt like, stuff, the goggles. Shop,
like
yeah.
Jeff Johns has said so much. Like, you know, you're gonna get some other surprises, I think he even teased that Ted Knight's gonna be part of it. And I'm like, yeah, I want to see that because. Dude, like they show the JSA in like all the early sweet old school costumes, you know?
Dude, yeah. Like that picture, I was like, wow. Like,
yeah, I'm like, there's Flash.
I mean, they blurred out the Flash's face because I'm like, okay, you haven't cast him probably.
Oh, dude, it's probably the same dude wearing each costume. And they just shadowy pictures of him, you know? You see Wildcat, it's you see the Hawks.
And yeah.
I'm like, wow. So you're going to, I mean, they have Dr. Jay Fate, Garrick in here.
Like they had everybody in there.
So
you saw the helmet at the beginning, that battle. Mm-hmm. The first one. Lanterns. You didn't see his face, but you got Solomon Grundy like chasing after him.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, dude. I mean, there's something very like endearingly goofy about this show.
Yeah. I didn't like the Starman's outfit though. He looked too much like Captain America to me.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I was like, come on, dude. Well, because like the Star Spangled Kid, who that character is. All the other stuff is correct. Like, you know, Stripesy was Star Spangled Kid's, you know, his sidekick, you know, same, like he was an older sidekick, like, he's, you know, Star Spangled Kid was younger, but his costume originally was just all blue with the stars all over it. Boom, boom, like stars all over, like all on the face, all over the whole body, you know, he was spangled.
Okay, yeah.
He was a Star Spangled
Kid. Just spangled with him.
Yeah. So I guess.
Justin, have you ever been spangled?
Maybe today. I guess a show called The Star Spangled Kid probably wouldn't have been as awesome as Stargirl. Like, think about it. And so anyways, yeah. So she, that's all. Sorry, that sounded like a lot of information, but that was something I had to reconcile that to myself and go, okay, I get why they did it. So at some point, the original Starman had to have retired. I'm adding that. I'm not saying that's what happened, and gave his power to the Star Spangled Kid, who became the new Starman. So, which is what happened in the comics, but it was Jack Knight giving it to the new Star Spangled Kid. Dun, dun, dun. But, episode 3 was really good. I don't want to spoil it for you, but then there was some stuff in there. I was like, oh man, that's going to be goofy. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah. But, can I ask about the JSA villains?
Yeah.
So I know who Icicle is.
Mm-hmm.
I know who Solomon Grundy is.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like that was Sportsmaster in that first battle.
Yeah, yeah.
But when he was looking at the files, is it seriously? Is that from the comics? The Magician? There's
I don't know.
Just the that one. At
first,
magician,
I thought it was like Zatara or something, but Zatara was good.
Yeah, you had the mustache and stuff, and then you had Brainwave.
Yeah, Brainwave.
That's such a goofy name. So funny.
Yeah. Yeah, but the way this storyline takes place, all these JSA characters, must have been taking place in the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, because they're not World War II-ish. Unless they get into the, like, no, they were in limbo for 30 years or whatever. So, you know,
and
I don't know.
And then they fought in the early 2000s.
Yep.
Because it said 10 years ago at the beginning of the first episode. And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah. I'm like, you were Stripesy 10 years ago? I guess it works. In Blue Valley? That's cool.
I like how he was telling her about a costume. And he's like, because I had stripes and the bad guys would look at that instead of my face. I'm like, wow, really?
but he said it. It was so earnest.
I was like, I don't really think that's how that works. You have a guy that can literally read your mind.
He's
not
going
to be like, oh, stripes. Dang it. It fooled me again with your stripes.
He's like, it's so hard to pay attention with your stripes.
I can't see your face.
That's so funny, too. I'm Stripesy. So that's your name, huh? So, anyways,
no,
it's fun.
You're Pat. Like, it's I can fun. Read.
I still think her mask looks dumb. So there's that. I liked the version of Stargirl better on Legends of Tomorrow when she appeared for like two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that mask better. But
when they were in the World War II era.
No, they just showed up. Like,
oh, they just showed up?
It was at the end of an episode, like I think season one, and they were like, okay, we're the Justice Society of America. And it was like Sergeant Steel and a couple other characters. But anywho, so cool. I'm enjoying the show. So far, I feel like it floats between a go and a let's go for me. Like, we're not done, obviously, but I'm here for it. I'm watching it weekly.
Nice. Yeah, I'm okay with it. I think as far as TV watching, Harley Quinn still is like way up there for me.
I need to catch up on the last two.
Continues to give good memes and stuff like that. Like inspirational poster of Bane saying, hang in there.
Hang in there. Did someone just, someone made that?
Someone made that. It was on someone's wall in a recent episode as like a poster. And then someone like took that and like made it like an actual like thing you can like download. It's one of my new favorite things. The Bane on Harley Quinn show is one of our greatest gifts in recent history.
That's funny. Well, that's good. Good stuff. Good stuff, DC Universe. Let's see what happens where it ends up. You know what I was going to say? You know how there's that point system on DC Universe?
Uh-huh.
Like you can accrue points. Well, I've been like, you know, doing my best. I've been reading the comics, watching movies, letting them maybe play in the background while I'm doing stuff. And I saw something today. I went to check. How come my points didn't go up? It's all, you can't accrue points for two more days. It's all, you have 1 day and 20 hours. So I think I accrued too many points in a too like short of a span. And I'm like,
like, you need to
sucks.
Go get a life,
is there a,
man.
Is there a limit? You're saying there's a limit on my points?
Like,
on
whoa,
what
whoa,
I can
whoa.
Do?
Don't earn it too quick.
Yeah, but part of me wants to be number one on the leaderboard.
Of course.
I'm like, hey, I want to be the number one guy.
You're just going to grade this on a curve instead.
Because I saw one guy, you know, I'll be transparent. Like, my points are at like 965 right now. I'm still in the copper. I want to get in the gold range, you know? Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, the next person, the highest person's like 1450. I'm like, If I continued my watching of movies in the background and TV shows, I can catch up, you know?
Yeah.
Nope. They blocked me. And then all of a sudden, some guy's at like 3,000. I'm like, okay, I don't have time for that, you know? And there's not enough shows. I think I've watched all the movies in the background.
Do it again.
I'm like, I got to do this again. So, yeah. And they don't give you much points for movies, by the way. They give you more points for comics.
Nice.
Because it's more to read through. But anyways,
was good
that.
Motivation.
Yeah, it's good. It's good motivation. So, all right. So let's transition. And this will be there's no good way to transition. We're just going to do it. But there's been a lot going on in our world lately. And what we wanted to do is try to, we do these things to escape. You know, we love comics and we talk about, you know, how much we love them and all that type of stuff. And we're trying to like, at the same time, like, how do you mix a podcast, you know, about, comics and pop culture and stuff like that? And how do you like segue and talk about real world events. So, so one of the things we decided, like, hey, you know what? So in the midst of, you know, a lot of the protests that are going on over, you know, George Floyd's, you know, death, one of the things that they were talking about yesterday is like, hey, you know what? Highlight black creators, highlight people of color who are doing things. And so we're like, okay, so let's do that. And I don't know if there's a smooth or a good transition into that, but we're going to do our best. And so me and Matt talked about, like, you know, let's talk about some creators that, you know, we grew up on or that we follow, and just talk about some of the works that they've done. And so there you go. How was that, Matt?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean,
I'm trying to be sensitive, and I'm trying to be like, I will definitely like talk about the elephant in the room. Me and Matt, just two white guys, you know, like, but, we love comics and we love these creators, and we just kind of wanted to give them a little recognition. So if you listen to our show and you hear about any of the things and the creators we talked about, hope that you check them out, because we don't talk about bad stuff. We talk about good stuff. And that's, we're giving you the high quality stuff here. So except Batwoman's recasting. I don't know what that's all about. So anyways, yeah, totally. We're going to talk about some creators here. And so we're just going to, we'll go back and forth. Matt, I will... Since I've already awkwardly started, I'll just continue to go.
Just continue in that awkwardness.
Yeah, just continue going. And so I want to talk about Kyle Baker. He is a phenomenal artist. You know, he does stuff. When you look at his art, it looks like it's probably storyboards, and it almost has like an animation style to some of it. Like his Plastic Man book he did for DC a few years back, really good. It was like it won awards. Just had such a great style, and he's a versatile artist as well, and so that was good. But one of my favorite things that he did was, remember DC was doing Wednesday Comics?
Oh yeah,
so he was doing the Hawkman story on that, and that
that was a great one.
Yeah, it looked incredible, and so just, you know, writer, artist, does it all, and just good stuff. So I think if you can check out anything that Kyle Baker is doing, check him out, because he's like a, you know, he's not always putting books out, but he's a busy person. Like, he's not always doing comics, but he's doing, you know, artwork for, you know, animation and things like that. So I wanted to give a spotlight to Kyle Baker, and I think you should check out his work, and definitely check out his Plastic Man stuff, because that was fun comics, kind of in the, I think it was like mid 2000s, like 2006 or something, like around that time. When everybody was dying in like Infinite Crisis and whatever, you had like this fun Plastic Man book coming out. And then again, like, check out Wednesday Comics if you can, and read the Hawkman stuff, because that was phenomenal. Every time I think of Hawkman, I think of a certain panel from that book where it's just like Hawkman flying for like at your face with the mace in his hand. I'll try to find the image and I'll put it on social media, but good stuff. So,
dude, yeah. I actually hadn't even thought about that. That was a great one. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah. Thank you, man.
So one of the ones I'll throw out there is kind of a duo that I like to follow, and that's David F. Walker and Sanford Green. Sanford Green's style is just so... I was like, stylized. No, it's just so unique, and it's really exaggerated, but in really interesting ways. Mm-hmm. What I jumped onto was their Power Man and Iron Fist book. And gosh, that had to have been around like 2015, 2016, maybe.
Gosh, that's so long ago now.
It feels like forever ago. Yeah. It doesn't feel like it should have been that long ago, but, I just really enjoyed their take on it. Like, I mean, not just Sanford Green's art, but David F. Walker, he just has a way about just being true to who he is and what he values, but in a way where it's just like, you also like don't lose the characters in that, if that makes sense. And they've also, more recently, they're ongoing now. The second story arc is currently in publication for Bitterroot for Image. And that one is just super cool. It's just such a great like idea for a story that's this family of, it's almost like the Vampire Hunter, like steampunk kind of thing, but this takes place in in the 1920s, and it's a black family that fights off this like race of like demon monster things, and they're the source of like hate and racism and stuff like that. So it kind of takes this real world thing and makes it this fantastical kind of element where they're like monster hunters. But I think when you do that, like you have room to make a lot of really great points and statements in a way where like it's kind of like kind of laid in there in the story and in the characters. So I've been really, really digging that. I think in general, I like their stuff, like just really, really appreciate their stuff. And when I sought out Power Man and Iron Fist as a book, when that first started, it was because it was in an attempt to kind of like challenge myself to broaden, like I don't need to just read certain types of comics, and it's not like I'm gonna read comic books by creators that are different than me, no matter the quality or anything. Mm. But I do need to widen the pool that I like check out and that I engage with to see like what's out there, because I'm going to miss out if I don't.
Yeah.
And in that, like I have like a go-to like group of creators that I'm like, I'm probably going to check out whatever they do. The other one to throw in for David F. Walker too, is he did, shoot, I'm trying to think, was it like Shadowhawk or something like that?
Oh, Nighthawk. Dude, Nighthawk. I was going to talk about that, because
that was a cool, is intense, and holy cow, is it timely now.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were you going to say about it?
No, I was going to add, as you were talking about David F. Walker, like that Nighthawk, gosh, what was it? It was only like 6 issues. I think you can get the trade. It's on Amazon, and I would just definitely pick it up. Or if you have like Marvel Unlimited, read it. It was a gripping story, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, why would they cancel this book? I just don't know. I don't know why, you know, I don't know. But I think it's 6 issues, and it's freaking great, man. And so,
yeah, you can find it. I just looked it up on Amazon. You can get it.
Yeah. So he was in the Squadron Supreme. But yeah, read this, because it is freaking great, dude. Yeah. I'm glad. I was like, you're going to take my little ad. But that's all right, dude.
No, you got it, dude. I think it's just, if I think of black creators that I'm like really excited to check out whatever they're doing, like those are a couple of the top guys for me for sure in comics.
Yeah. No, that was good. That was good stuff. I wanted to talk. So one of the guys I wanted to talk about was MD Bright, or AKA Mark Bright. Maybe people don't know, you know, they haven't heard his name or whatever, but he did a lot of stuff in the 80s and, you know, 90s for, you know, Marvel and DC. He worked on Power Man and Iron Fist with Christopher Priest, actually. I don't know if he was going by Christopher Priest back then, or because he was Jim Owsley for a while. And
really?
Then he changed his name. And who knows why? I don't know why.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, yeah. So, but MD Bright, I first saw him working on Green Lantern. He did Emerald Dawn, Emerald Dawn, Emerald Dawn 2. There was like this mini series that kind of talked about the origins of you know, Hal Jordan. And then he did the Green Lantern, regular Green Lantern title. He also did a lot of G.I. Joe comics. And so I was reading those. And so, he just was a part of a lot of the stuff like from my, you know, early, you know, 90s reading as a kid.
Yeah.
Like he did a lot of the books that I like. I remember he did Green Lantern 25. Which was like the big showdown between Guy Gardner and Hal Jordan. And it was like, who's the Green Lantern of Earth? You know? And so he did that battle.
That's rad.
Yeah. And he's done other stuff. He's done Batman. So he was kind of like a house artist at DC for a while. But, you know, as like the 90s and stuff went on, he did do, I think with Christopher Priest, I think he did Quantum and Woody for like Acclaim Comics. But like Acclaim had comics for a while. It was weird. But I think they, I don't know where Quantum and Woody moved to, but he did stuff for Milestone as well. And so I think he was doing Icon. And so he was a part of like a lot of the black creators during that time. They all were, you know, hey, let's do our own characters and like make them like legitimate. So he was part of Milestone. And so, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit more about, you know, those creators, but yeah, man. And so he was all over the place, and he was doing trading cards. Remember, you know, there was Marvel trading cards, DC had their trading cards, and he did a lot of the artwork for, he did like all the green, like the Green Lanterns, and like I can see him in my head right now. So I'm like thinking, I'm like, oh yeah, he did all of that. And so, he did a lot of stuff, man.
Mm-hmm.
So did a lot of work. And so in my head, I'm like, yeah, you know, Mark Bright, I think his first name was Mark, but I think his like pen name was like MD Bright. So,
oh yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So anyways, I wanted to give a shout out to him.
For sure. I have another kind of book specific one
mm-hmm.
that's current, and that's Far Sector by N.K. Jemisin and artist Jamal Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent storytelling. It's I have read sci-fi just in general, like mm-hmm. novels or comic books or whatever, off and on my whole life, and so it's easy to get in that genre and just not really have something new, like, and just kind of like put the stamp of sci-fi on it, even though it feels like something that's come before. But when you get like a sci-fi that actually feels like it's kind of pushing some boundaries and rethinking how things are, mm-hmm. It's really refreshing. And I feel like this is what you get in Far Sector. And the fact that it has to do with a Green Lantern that's new that you haven't met before, you're kind of like figuring out that mystery. And then the art by Jamal Campbell is just incredible.
Yeah.
And so all of that combined, like, that I think is one of the like best, it's probably one of the best books out right now, honestly, when you look at the whole package, that probably isn't getting nearly enough attention. And I don't know if it's because of the Young Animal imprint. I don't know if it's because of marketing or whatever, but it's really, really excellent. I've enjoyed it. I look forward to it every month, and I'm excited that a new issue just came out today. So I'm excited to continue reading that. But yes, I would.
You should do reviews for it, Matt.
I would commend to you guys Far Sector. Check it out.
Yeah.
The other one connected to Jamal Campbell, he was also the artist on David F. Walker and Brian Bendis's book, Naomi.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Which was also just incredible. Like his art is just beautiful.
Yeah. Out of that whole line, Naomi was like, everyone kind of thought like, oh, Young Justice is going to be like the one, and it really was Naomi.
Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, follow Jamal Campbell. Like he's got some great stuff too. So, and it's cool that N.K. Jemisin, like from what I understand, she's a novelist and this is her first comic book. And so I think you kind of get a little more of that vibe when you get there. It feels like more of like that kind of prose, like novel kind of style.
Cool. All right. I want to talk about Brian Stelfreeze. Mm-hmm. And so some people may not know what he's done. I don't know. You know, if you're in the comics, you know, like, you know, currently I think the stuff he's been doing right now has been like the Black Panther covers. I first came into him though in, oh gosh, it had to be 92 when there was a new Batman title coming out called Batman Shadow of the Bat. And it was Alan Grant and Norm Brayfogle doing the interiors, but all these covers were done by Brian Stelfreeze, and they are amazing. I think he did like up to 50 issues of covers.
Wow.
Like, yeah, he did those for a good while, man. And, you know, he's got a really dynamic style, and, you know, a lot of them are, you know, painted covers, you know.
That's awesome.
I actually prefer his pencil work when he does it. That's the thing. Like, he does, I just like his style. I think he's got a really, you know, it's his too. When you see it, you're like, okay, that's his.
Mm-hmm.
His look. But what was cool about his Shadow of the Bat covers was when he did like illustrate a Batman suit, a lot of the times like the blue gloves were more blended into the gray suit. It wasn't like he had a hard line, you know, not in all cases, but some cases it looked like he was doing it felt like it was a very organic suit
mm-hmm.
when he would illustrate it. Anyways, he just has a really good style, and I think you've seen his work. If you're like, oh, I don't know who he is, like he's done, like I think we talked about it a couple episodes ago where he did the first couple covers of the new Miles Morales series, and he's been doing Black Panther. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, he's got a lot of stuff, dude.
So yeah.
A lot of good stuff. You've seen him. He's doing everything that like Ta-Nehisi Coates has been doing with Marvel for Black Panther, that's where he's at. And so,
yeah, he's been involved to a degree. He helped launch it when he did his first run of Black Panther. The second one was with, I think, Daniel Acuna. But
he's still doing the covers, right?
Not all of them. He's doing some, though.
Not all of them. Okay.
He did the cover for the latest Miles Morales run, issue number one, which was really, really good.
Okay, that's what we were talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then that...
Yeah, he's some Star Wars stuff. He's done a lot of stuff, man. So I would say do a Google search, check him out, and just appreciate his work.
Yeah. I think, that's a good kind of segue to talking about checking out Ta-Nehisi Coates and the stuff that he's done. Two Black Panther runs and a run on Captain America.
Is he still on his Captain America run?
I think so. I haven't been following that one as closely, but I've really enjoyed Black Panther. And I got on that launched right around the time, the first one of Power Man and Iron Fist. Like, it was kind of similar time frame. And so that has a special place in my heart too. And his second arc, like his second run of Black Panther from the last like year and a half, 2 years, has been really, really excellent as well. So I appreciate, like, he definitely is one of those guys where he's like a writer. And so he brings like a different vibe, like something very like rich, like a lot of depth, a lot of like just weight to the stuff he writes. I think it's really cool.
Nice. So I'm going to talk about another guy. So Dennis Cowan, again, when you see his name, it's kind of linked to a lot of the, whatchamacallit, the Milestone stuff that was going on. Mm-hmm. So he was doing that with those guys. But what I first came into him on was Question Comics. Like, he was doing the Question for DC, and he was doing it with Denny O'Neill. And I think it came out before I was really into comics, but I remember seeing the covers. Like, you know, you just be going through the back issue bins and stuff. But he has a really cool style. I mean, it kind of reminds me of, like a cross between Frank Miller and Bill Sienkiewicz. And I'm like, that's kind of what his style looks like. But so you kind of follow like, what he's been on. He did a lot of fill-in stuff for DC. Like, he was kind of like one of their guys. He was like, you know how they have the guys on contract? He had a book that he would work on, but then sometimes he'd do fill-in stuff. I know he did stuff in Detective. He did stuff in Green Arrow. But it sounds really dumb, but I remember reading... I like to buy Lobo comics, dude. So I was like, oh, he did this Lobo one shot. It was called Blazing Chain of Love. It was really like, why did I even, I shouldn't have bought it when I did. But then he did Hardware. Like, again, I was talking for Milestone. He did that. There was this action figure line called Total Justice. It was so stupid, but he did I bought the miniseries based on it, 'cause he did the artwork for that. I'm trying to remember some other things that he did. I know he did the Convergence Batman and Robin episode, a whole bunch of other stuff. But most recently, he did the Hong Kong Fooey Black Lightning crossover.
Oh, really?
So yeah, he did stuff with that, and so
that's awesome.
So he's done a lot of work, and if you've been around comics for a while, you know, primarily I feel like he's done a lot of DC work. But he has worked, he has done stuff for other people. But he did stuff for Marvel. He did Power Man and Iron Fist as well. He did a lot of stuff in the 80s for them. Mm-hmm. So he's been all over the place. But I say he's primarily done a lot of DC work. And so he did a good run on Steel, the Steel comic. I would check him out. And again, if you can, I wonder if there's a good collection of the Milestone stuff, because a lot of it's actually really cool.
I was just wondering, because I was going to say, like, just check out Milestone anyway, because there's so much. Yeah. Again, like, there's just things that you come back to, and those written decades ago.
Yeah.
You like, are like, whoa, that, like, still hits.
And I think those guys all kind of, to be honest, kind of got screwed over. And I don't know if DC screwed them over or who screwed them over, or, like, what the business deal was, because I'm like... I feel like those characters were actually really cool. Like, Static still made it. I don't know how Static like kind of made it through everything, but you know, Icon and Hardware, and I think they even tried to bring Zombie back for a New 52,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, they tried a few different things, and I don't know why the different things like didn't hit.
There was Blood Syndicate. So there was a lot of, they had a lot of cool like ideas. I just, I just don't think people were ready at that time.
I saw which is someone a shame because posted the opening kind of page to a couple of pages to Hardware number one. And that was, and that was Dwayne McDuffie and Dennis Cowan. And it's just really like, it's really poignant. Like to see like the sequence, it's almost like a similar to like a, the Batman kind of like origin of seeing the bat coming through and flying through the room or whatever and seeing that and like whatever, like this is a bird flying through and is released from the cage, but then it hits the window and like it's this imagery that he draws of like making the mistake of just because you're out of your cage doesn't mean you're free. Like and the storyline, the issue like storyline like title is Angry Black Man. So I mean like Milestone like was really doing something I think special at the time, and not that other people haven't done it since or hadn't done it before, but in a way that was really visible that I think was really important at the time, and it does make me sad in times like this that it doesn't have the presence, you know, still that it did.
Yeah, it should though. If you can check them out, guys, I would definitely tell you to pick them up. Just, you know, go on Amazon, see if you can, you know, find whatever. Because I know they have, you can get collections of, I think just the separate, I think they have the whole titles kind of put together. I don't know if they have it all like collected as one thing because they had a few titles. So
we should check it out and then post it.
Yeah. We'll put a resource out there for you guys. So, is it my turn or is it your turn?
That was kind of a tag on to your turn. Okay. I'm gonna take my turn. And,
go for it.
Victor Lavalle's or Lavalle's, I don't know. Two L's, like you never know. Destroyer. That was a few years ago.
Yeah.
So
that was cool.
Kind of a retelling of the Frankenstein story, with a twist, and that was excellent. Another novelist that like did this really excellent miniseries, and the artist on that was Dietrich Smith, who's also like done some other stuff and has been a finalist for the Dwayne McDuffie Award for his work on Shaft and a few other things. So also a really excellent artwork on that too. I feel like that series like just hit me hard, and I feel like it was such a brilliant use of a common mythology that, you know what I mean, and story that we're familiar with, but then taking that and applying that to a modern kind of take, specifically where it comes to race. And I think, well worth your time to check out Destroyer.
Yeah, that was good. That was one that Matt made me read.
Yeah, that's right. I made you.
He forced me. Matt
You're welcome.
Comics, so you better read these comics or we're not going to be friends. So... Yeah, that was good. I wanted to bring up, we talked about him a little bit already, but Christopher Priest. He's kind of been in and out of comics. He was in the 80s. He was working at Marvel. He did some Spider-Man. He did Power Man and Iron Fist. He actually killed Iron Fist, which pissed a lot of people off back then. He was an editor for a bit, and then he left. But then he went to DC. I remember he did the Ray. I think he created the new Ray series that they did with Joe Quesada. I could be wrong, but I feel like I'm because I see the ad in my head. It was like this, like it was an actual photograph of a person. It was like a person, like in a costume of the Ray, and it was like this guy. It was like, oh, this is a different way to do a comic, you know, promo.
Nice.
But anyways, he did that. He created Quantum Woody. He did that with Mark Bright, MD Bright. But I actually wanted to talk about kind of his. Some current things he was doing, because he has a really cool run on Deathstroke that was really great, man. And I actually was snoozing on it because I just wasn't I don't know if I want to read a Deathstroke book, but I got bought in on the Deathstroke, you know, versus Batman you know, crossover they had, and it was really good. And then he actually was kind of ending the Justice League run that started Rebirth. Like, he kind of picked up at the tail end of it before they handed it off to Snyder, and that was good too. And so he's just like a really good writer.
Yeah.
And I think he's actually underutilized. But I think he actually prefers doing his own stuff. It seems like he has run-ins with editorial sometimes, just because he has ideas of what he wants to do with the character. And I feel like he has more freedom, you know, doing other things. But
yeah, I just recently read his Black Panther run. Gosh, maybe like a year ago. Like it was really recent. I was like, I'm just going to read through these because I know it's an iconic storyline. I just need to make myself familiar.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful. It was great.
Yeah. He's an interesting cat, man. So I would check him out. He's also a musician. So there you go. And a Baptist minister.
There you
just
go.
Just so you know.
Boom.
Christopher Priest. Hey. There you go. Okay, so when I'm not busy, you know, composing music and being a Baptist minister, I also write Deathstroke. So
that sounds like not a bad life, honestly.
Hey, you know, I got some stuff. I got some things to do, but yeah, I would say check out his Deathstroke stuff from the last few years because really good. So, and then but he also did Marvel Knights Black Panther with Mark Texeria. So, some people don't like that run, but because I think they felt like it was more of a what's his face? What's the guy's name again? His hand got cut off. He was in Black Panther, the
Claw?
Villain, Claw. Like they felt like it was more of a Claw story. But anywho, check out Christopher Priest. Boom.
Yeah.
All right. I have a few more. I was kind of saving one for last.
Go for it, man.
But I wanted to talk about Sean Martin, bro. He did when they kind of revamped the Batman titles in, I think it was early 2000s, maybe it was late 90s. I don't know the specific date, but like they even did the whole, it was like after the Nightfall stuff, but they redid like all the, how the trade, you know, dress looked on all the, everything looked more uniform. There was like Chip Kidd did this really cool graphic design, like, you knew it was a Batman book because it had a yellow circle on it and kind of this Batman cowl. Mm. But he started off with Greg Rucka while they were doing Detective Comics. And what was really cool about it, his art was very, like, it looked very, like, this is art for a detective story. Very shadowy and stuff. And they did some cool stuff with the coloring, too. It was very, like, one tone, like, all blues, all reds, you know, the color evoked the mood of the book, but his art was really good. And I was like, oh, when he left the book, because he was on for like 2 years, it completely changed how the book felt and stuff. But they introduced a lot of, during that time, this was right before, there was a storyline called Bruce Wayne Murderer and then Bruce Wayne Fugitive. But they were grooming this chick to be like kind of a Batman sidekick, and her name was Sasha Bordeaux. And it was a really cool story where she was Bruce Wayne's bodyguard. And then,
oh, nice.
It was this whole cool thing about, like, you know, Bruce was trying to like lose her. She was like appointed to him, and he was like, dude, I don't need this chick. And she would like take him down sometimes, like, duck. And she was like, dude, this guy's solid. Why is he so solid? What is this guy, you know, why does he need me? And she ended up being like one of his sidekicks. Anyways, long story short, you can get those things. It's called Batman New Gotham. I would read those stories. Again, it was great, but his artwork is phenomenal, and he's done a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, he was actually part of Milestone as well, and did Static.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Look at you bringing out the deep cuts, Matt Ritchie. Yeah,
you know,
but I really like his
Google
art.
Google will take you far in this world.
You're like, hey, I thought you were pulling it out of like.
No, I really do wish, like, anytime someone, like, I just really try to open my ears anytime someone's like recommending stuff to really like, oh, I haven't heard of that. I want to find it and I want to know what I need to read. So, but yeah, he was an inker for Static a few issues in 93 and then also on Shadow Cabinet.
Oh, he was inker. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know he did. He did like a Luke Cage mini. I'm trying to remember. It was like they did a lot of these at Marvel, and I forgot.
Yeah, Luke Cage Noir.
Oh, that's right. Okay. He did Luke Cage Noir, and then I think he did a Hellboy book. But anyways, his detective run was really cool. It was like, I think it was like the 740s up to maybe 770s, but he did it with Rucka and it was really good. And I think I actually met him at Comic-Con one time.
That's awesome.
I was like, are you going to get back on the book? And he was like, I don't know. You know, he probably knew. Like, I'm probably not. I'm probably not going to go back on the book. But
anything
I really
can happen. Yeah, HBO Max. Comics. I'll get back on the book. HBO Max. You're back on Detective.
He's all, I'm drawing Ben Affleck Batman comics. He's like, hey, that's what I'm doing.
You got to find your niche, but, man.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyways, really enjoyed his art. If you don't got any more, I think we're both going to be like, this is the this guy right here. Really. I think impacted everybody and you didn't know it. So let me know if you have
go.
Anything else.
Do it.
Go. All right. Dwayne McDuffie. So if you haven't read his comics, you've seen his, I think his contributions to just geek culture in general. But yeah, he was at Marvel. But again, I think most of what people will probably take from his work was like Static, obviously, but you know, he was one of the staff writers on Justice League, and then he ended up being I think the showrunner for Justice League Unlimited. And you know, everyone's like, dude, that's the best version of the Justice League. And like,
and the one my kids would care about is he also wrote and produced on Ben 10.
Oh, yeah, I was gonna say that. Yeah, he got brought into that as well.
Yeah.
We're trying to keep it. Well, I guess Ben 10's kind of a comic guy, you know. But you know, he was able to take a great idea like Static and he was able to sell it into like, hey, let's make a cartoon out of it. And so he got to develop the Static Shock cartoon. You know, he was hired to like write and story edit the whole thing. But he also did stuff like, you know, Teen Titans. So he's a huge DC head. And he, you know, even did like adaptions of the, you know, he did a lot of the direct to video stuff, like when they first started doing those. So he did the Superman, what was the, oh gosh, the All-Star Superman. He did that.
Yeah.
He did Justice League Crisis on Two Earths. And he did Justice League Doom. And one of them came out like right after he passed away too. Like literally, like I remember it was like a day after. It was like, oh my gosh.
That might have been Justice League Doom. I think that was the last one he did.
Oh. But yeah, he's just a really great storyteller, man. And yeah, so, and then he just kind of, he died unexpectedly. Yeah, and I don't mean that in a bummer, but I think a lot of people may have enjoyed those shows and not known like who was behind it. And so he, you know, comics was, you know, he loved comics and he did it. And so he wrote Justice League of America as well for a little bit. You know, again, DC guy. And then part of the Milestone stuff, but
co-founder of it.
Yeah, and so that's just if you can research Milestone, I think if we were going to put a cap on this kind of section right here, would be check out everybody we've talked about, but really check out the Milestone stuff. I mean, I know they've tried to reboot it a few times, and it just I don't know why it doesn't get off, but I'm hoping that we can get some creators out there that are like, dude, let's make it happen. Cause these characters are that they did create are really cool. And I think they connect with it. And one of the things that, you know, I love is when people can see themselves in comics and, you know, coming from, you know, a white dude who sees himself in, you know, majority of the characters, it's cool when a kid can see like themselves in a character and be like, oh man, look at this guy. He's like me, you know? And, you know, Milestone was doing that. And one of the philosophies behind, dude, I remember reading, it's so weird how you can remember like Wizard magazine and they are doing like a round table with all these guys and they're like, these characters are different and you know, just like we're all different. And, you know, not everybody is, you know, typically when people were writing comics, they would write characters very one dimensional. And there's like, well, we're not like that. Everyone has different personalities and, you know, the problem was in comics, people, if you were black, they all wrote, you know, black people the same way. And they're like, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to write people differently. And they had people of all ethnicities in these books. But it was like, hey, we're going to represent ourselves. And so it was cool. And, you know, my only real interaction with the Milestone stuff, honestly, was through a crossover with Superman. They did a whole thing because I think it was called the Dakotaverse. Which made no sense because it was called Milestone, right? Milestoneverse, right? But it was called Dakotaverse or whatever. And so they did a crossover and, you know, you had Superman and he was going up against Icon and Hardware was kind of like, whatchamacallit, was kind of like an Iron Man-like character, but not. Yeah. Anyways, it was really cool and I think you guys should check it out. And that would be my suggestion at the end of all of this. go check out Milestone.
Yeah.
And all these creators. So.
Yeah, man. And yeah. Not to add a lot of things to that, but just like,
please.
It's hard. Like I was even telling Justin, it's just hard to even find the stuff like to do a show when so much is going on in the world and so much is happening. Like, mm-hmm. What do you have to do? What do you have to say? And a lot of times the most accessible place to start is stories and hobbies and different things that you mm-hmm. enjoy already is searching out other voices, specifically in this time and space, yeah. Searching out Black voices and amplifying those as best you can.
Yeah.
Because I come to this with someone that has a lot to learn, that has a lot to fix, that, you know what I mean? Like I'm not coming at this as someone that has things figured out by any means, but just doing my best to engage the best ways I can in conversations and in stories and in these ways, and just hoping that I can do my part, you know?
Yeah. Cool. Comics is such a great medium for telling stories, man.
Yeah.
You know, and I think sometimes people will look past, like, you know, they always see comics as juvenile. It's still a thing, even though it's like, it's really not. There's some really great stories being told, and there's really great creators out there. And so I think you can, you know, take a, like you're talking about Destroyer. I'm like, dude, that connected you big time, you know?
Yeah.
It was definitely a weird sci-fi horror story, but race was part of it, you mm-hmm. know? And so it wasn't told in like a heavy-handed way. It was part of the story, and it touches you, and it challenges you too. Like at the same time, you're getting this cool Frankenstein zombie story, but you right. also get challenged. And yeah. so, you know, be open to it. And so I appreciate it about Matt. Matt does look, he's like, I'm going to try something different. You know, I'm like, but it's Batman though. I'm going to read Batman again.
which is also great. And you can get some really good stories from that.
Yeah. But you know, I just wanted to say good job, Matt.
Thanks, man. I just really hope, like, I've been challenged, and I think I just try to, as best I can, take art not always as an escape, though it can be yeah. that sometimes, but as, like, a refocusing for me. Mm-hmm. You know, like, when art really works and really affects you, that should be, like, a new lens that you look at the world through.
Yeah.
And I think comics can absolutely be that. I think it's one of the best mediums for that, actually. So, yeah.
Agreed. All right, so we're going to wrap the show. If you're like, hey, man, you guys should really check, you know, this book out or this creator, let us know, please. You can email us at letsgocomicshow@gmail.com, or you can just hit us up on our social media. Matt, how can someone hit you? They can at you. Hey, man, don't at me.
You can find me on Twitter at Matt Ritchie.
Cool. You can find me at J_Rocca, or you can find the show at Let's Go Comic Show on Instagram and Twitter. Visit our website at www.letsgopodcast.com. We can listen to this show and the Let's Go podcast, and you can read all of our rad reviews that come out like almost every day. We got TV and, reviews, comic reviews.
But there was another and
other reviews. We're gonna review reviews, and so we can check that out as well. I would implore you to please support the show. Buy a shirt. Go to the merch tab and buy something, please, please, so we can keep the lights on.
Yeah,
it's getting dark. So, not really. But yeah,
and help up the show. Go find your comic book shop, too.
Yeah, go to your comic store. They're opening, guys. Come on. Put on a mask and go buy some comics. Go clear out the pool list. I'm going to do that on Friday. I got some pools I need to, like, you know, I need to take care of that. So, all right, Matt, that being said, my name is Justin.
And I'm Matt.
Let's go.
Let's go.